You know, God can turn the hearts of these leaders like diverting water. And he can remove them if necessary. And so that's really the only thing that we've got. People say, well, I ain't got anything but left but a prayer. Well, that's the most effective thing that you can do with most things, even with small problems in your life, but certainly when that's something that is out of your reach. And when we look at what is happening here, this frail, corrupt, dying, cut flower American empire that we have has now lost three Reaper drones, each of them costing $30 million. This is even worse than the M1 Abrams tanks that are being taken out in Ukraine with these $10 million tanks being taken out with $500 drones. Well, here we have Yemen, the Houthis, and the Blowfish. This third world country that we sided with the Saudis and decided that we would get involved in their war. I'm not saying who's right, the head chop in Saudis or the Marxist Iranian Houthis. As far as I'm concerned, I look at it and I don't have a dog in that fight, quite frankly, but we put our dogs in the fight and we got there on the side of the Saudis and continued to try to, and very effectively, starved that country, bombed that country. And you think that a third world country that we'd been starving and bombing for quite some time would not be able to do this kind of stuff. And yet they are a big threat to shipping now. They're able to hit a British ship. They're able to take down three of these Reaper drones. The war has killed 377,000 people there in Yemen, with more than half of them dying from starvation from our sanctions, our lockdowns, if you will, right? And I said that from the very beginning, too. I said, how dare Donald Trump tell us that we are non-essential? How dare him do sanctions on his own people? That globalist traitor. I saw a new double haters is what they call it. People who won't vote for Trump or Biden and they mentioned RFK. It's like, well, wait a minute. That's three. It's like Monty Python. You know, we have two main weapons. The names of three. I mean, three main weapons in the Spanish Inquisition. Well, we got triple haters. I'm not voting for any of those guys. And because, you know, they both of them put sanctions on us. Sanctions on us. That's what those lockdowns were. They're economic sanctions that they put on us. So the United States has dropped over $1 billion in ammunition, bombs, and things like that on Yemen. We have starved about 180,000 of them to death. The Houthis said that they hit a British-owned oil tanker with missiles, the Andromeda Star. They began targeting British and American commercial shipping after the U.S. and the U.K. started bombing Yemen on January the 12th. The Yemeni group initially said it only targeted Israeli-linked shipping to protest the siege on Gaza. But then we get involved in it, so now they're shooting any U.S. and U.K. things, and they've hit a British ship. Hundreds of U.S. and British missile strikes on Yemen have done nothing to deter the Houthis. Houthis, maybe, I don't know, who insist the campaign will only stop once there's a ceasefire in Gaza. But the U.S. has backed a brutal Saudi UAE, United Arab Emirates, and the Saudis had a war against the Houthis. From 2015, it began with Obama, and then it continued. It went from 2015 to 2022. And so out of those 7 years, four of them were under Trump. Mr. Peacemaker, yeah. Involved heavy airstrikes and blockades, and the Houthis only became more of a capable fighting force during that time. Wow. So, seems like it's another one of these wars that we get in, asymmetric, that doesn't seem to be working too well. Yeah, I mentioned the M1 Abrams tanks that are being taken out in Ukraine. Russia released footage yesterday showing it's kind of a trophy footage showing them taking out an M1 Abrams tank and then showing them towing the destroyed tank because they're going to take it to Moscow and put it on display. They are going to be doing that with a lot of destroyed equipment. There you go. There's the video. People can see that happening there. You can leave that up while I talk. A video apparently filmed from a drone shows the Abrams tank being hit on the side with a large pillar of fire immediately erupting from the top of the vehicle. Three Ukrainian crew members are seen exiting the burning tank and crawling away from the danger zone. The Abrams crew is normally four. It's unclear what happened to the remaining service member. I don't think it's unclear at all. A clip of the tank then being towed to the rear. A Russian group spokesperson, they call it the Center Group, Alexander Savchuk, said the U.S.-made armor would be displayed at a major trophy show in Moscow, which will also feature dozens of other Western-made heavy vehicles captured during the conflict. The U.S. has sent Ukraine a total of 31 M1 Abrams tanks. According to the New York Times, as of late April, Moscow has taken out at least five, with three more moderately damaged, most reportedly hit by Russian kamikaze drones. Well, I don't know what moderately damaged means, but if it's out of commission because they've got to repair this thing, that means they've taken out a quarter of them in a short period of time. As I said at the very beginning, well, you got your vaunted expensive tanks, but they'll burn just like all the rest of them do. And, of course, there's now a lot of back and forth in the media, people posting Russian losses, Russians posting Ukrainian losses. The Washington Post actually talked about Ukrainian losses. They said Ukraine is running out of troops for the U.S. to train. Now, you have the Sun, which is owned by the Murdoch family, Rupert Murdoch and the Fox people. They put out their casualty list for Russians, and that was put out by Drudge in the mainstream media. What they were saying was that Moscow has lost 400,000 troops, 3,000 tanks, 500 aircraft, etc. The thing that I thought was most interesting about the Rupert Murdoch article, the Murdoch group or whatever you want to call it, was the fact that they said, well, we think that Russia's only got enough for two more years. So then what? You're going to continue to fight them and you think that you can take this out? Chris Christie was saying, hey, you know, we've taken out half of the Russian equipment, so we need to keep this up. This is a good investment for us. We're using the Ukrainians are fighting and dying for us while we can destroy Russian military equipment. For what purpose? What's the purpose? Why did they do the coup in Ukraine? Why did they have a civil war where they shelled civilian population for 8 years? And why do they keep pressing and pressing and pressing to take out Russia? It's because of their geopolitical goals. That's what they're pushing us into. And so what happens when you take out the last Russian tank and they still got nuclear weapons? Then what do you do? As a matter of fact, there is a lot of push about Biden saying, well, I'm going to sign this agreement with Ukraine to keep us involved in this war for 10 years. 10 years? They're not interested in coming to any peace agreements. They don't want to stop any of this. They're perfectly fine to kill Russians and Ukrainians. You know, when you look at what kind of law is, this is tremendous, right? 450,000 soldiers. Nevertheless, what did the Russians take in World War II, as Gerald Slinty had said from the very beginning? He said, you think you're going to beat these people? Look at how they absorbed all this stuff. And, you know, you could go back to the Napoleonic Wars, but more recently, and in the memory of most Russians there, in World War II, when Hitler attacked, they had 8.6 million military casualties, 13.7 million civilian casualties, 21 million altogether. And the total population of Ukraine is 37 million. You know, how's this thing going to work out? As the retired military colonel Douglas McGregor said, this was obvious from the very beginning. This is like saying that you got a war between Mexico and America, and you're going to bet on Mexico? I mean, just the sheer size of the economy. And when you look at this and say, well, they've only got two more years of weapons there, they're outproducing the U.S. and Europe in terms of munitions, in terms of shells and things like that. This is absolutely insane. It truly is. The Washington Post said, we are seeing a depletion of the personnel pipeline on the Ukrainian side. Zelensky insisted in February that his forces had suffered only 31,000 fatalities in 2 years of fighting. American and Ukrainian officials know this figure is a gross understatement, says the Washington Post. But they admitted that Zelensky must find a way to inspire more Ukrainian men to come to the front line. So said one U.S. source. So it's okay if you lie. I mean, this is wartime. Truth is the first casualty. So yeah, he's going to lie about casualties. A Ukrainian lawmaker said, we see so many deaths, so many wounded. If they go, troops want to know how long will they be there? Until you die, until your country is destroyed. As Alexei Arestovich pointed out, he said in 3 years, and it was in 3 years, he said in 2019, after the Zelensky got elected on a platform of peace, he said, well, he was the representative to the peace talks, and the reporter asked him, so is there any chance? And he goes, not a chance. No chance for peace. He says, as a matter of fact, it's going to get worse. And in 3 years, in 2022, we will be invaded by the Russians. Oh, this is horrible, she said. And he goes, oh, the country will be havoc. There'll be nothing left. She said, that's horrible. He said, but the good news is we get to get into NATO. And so he was somebody who was just cold-blooded candor. I mean, he didn't even try to sugarcoat anything. He got kicked out of this administration when there were some cruise missiles from the Russians that veered into a civilian building. And he told the truth about that, too. He said, yeah, they weren't targeting the building. They were hit by ground fire, and then they veered off course and went into that building. So they fired him because they had a narrative out there saying the Russians are targeting civilian buildings, like the Zelensky administration had done in Donbass and other areas. So they kicked him out, but he's back. According to the Russian Defense Ministry, Ukraine lost more than 160,000 troops during last summer's counteroffensive, out of nearly a half million during the entire conflict to date. Zelensky's former presidential advisor, Alexei Arestovich, has claimed that Ukraine has lost up to 300,000 men so far. I would go with that figure. Now, he may be a cold-blooded killer. He may have absolutely no regard for his own people, but he'll tell you the unvarnished truth. He really doesn't care. So Biden is trying to prevent a future president, who would that be, Trump, from ending the Ukraine war by putting in place a 10-year agreement. Okay, well, let's understand that these agreements, just like the Paris Climate Accord or these other things, if they're not ratified by the Senate, they're not worth the paper they're written on. And any president could remove that. However, this will be effective if Trump becomes president, because Trump will cow back and he will not do anything about it. That will be his excuse. That'll be Trump's excuse not to take on the military-industrial complex. That'll be Trump's excuse not to take on NATO. He'll whine and complain about how unfair it is and how they tied his hands and all the rest of this pure Bolshevik stuff that he threw at us in the first term. But he won't do a thing. And we know, because we've seen all this stuff before. We've seen it with the Paris Accord. We've seen it with DACA, for example. DACA, an executive order from the Obama administration, his head of Homeland Security, said that she was not going to enforce the law. That's what it means. Deferred action on childhood arrivals. I'm going to defer enforcing the law. Well, you don't have the authority to do that. So it was an invalid executive order to begin with. But it was simply an order from the previous president. And Trump could have easily have done. Instead, he said, well, let me ask the courts if I can do this. And he played that game, and the court said, no, you can't do it. Oh, okay, well, my hands are tied. I can't do it. That's what he'll do with this as well. This is not going to change. between Trump and Biden, regardless of who gets there. This 10-year agreement is not to bind Trump to anything. It is to give him an alibi to do nothing. Folks, they're on the same team. They're controlled by the same people. Yes, there are factions competing. You know, it's a Game of Thrones. They very much want to get the other guy out, and they want to get in. And the same thing is true of their masters in the CIA. There are, you know, the CIA is not monolithic. You got people like Brennan and Clapper and of that ilk on one side. And on the other side, you've got people like Steve Pachinik and Jack Posobiec and, you know, others that are not very well seen. But you've got people in the intelligence community that are hard right, just like you got people who are hard left. And so, you know, those are some of the ones that we've seen that are out there in the media pushing disinformation. So Trump will do nothing. So this is an agreement that would last for 10 years. Remember earlier I said, you know, they're saying, well, I think Russia is going to be out of conventional arms in 2 years. Well, then what? Nuclear arms? Is that what happens? Is that the plan? You're going to go for 10 years in this war and no nukes in that amount of time? Is that what we're supposed to believe? So Biden indicated that it will likely include agreements on long-term support, centering on military hardware and joint arms production. Trump is not going to get out of that. That'll be his excuse. The Wall Street Journal said the goal is last year said the goal is to make sure that Ukraine will be strong enough in the future to deter Russia from attacking it again. More immediately, Ukraine's Western allies hope to discourage the Kremlin from thinking that it can wait out the Biden administration for a potentially more sympathetic successor and the White House. And so, again, we're going to have him pretend that he can't do anything at all about this. The U.S. and the U.K. are pushing for total war on all fronts, says a political analyst at RT. And I think we can see that. If they're not interested in peace talks, if they shut them down, if they never mention it, and on all fronts, what he means is whether you're talking about Iran and Israel, or whether you're talking about China and Taiwan, or whether you're talking about Russia and Ukraine, we want to be involved in all of those. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson did a complete 180 on Ukraine. He proclaimed himself to be a Reagan Republican. No, he's a Quisling Republican.
Look, I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment that we're in right now. He said arguably maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
Yeah, well, maybe worse. With any luck, we can make it worse, right? So what's going to happen if, let's say there's an EMP? That's the easy thing for anybody to do. It really is. You know, close only counts, as they say, in horseshoes and nuclear war. But you don't even have to be close with an EMP. It just exploded in the atmosphere. Well, here's a few dozen things here that might happen. 24 things that'll occur if a country is hit with an EMP. I'll just read the different things off real quickly here. Number one, no electricity, a supply chain breakdown, transportation services disrupted, data loss, medical services impacted, infrastructure breakdown, communication services shut down, vehicles shutting down because of the electronics inside of them. ATMs and banks closing, fires, a lot of power fires because of backup, no water, confusion and chaos, a loss of jobs, possible economic collapse, no heating or cooling. There we go. Green at last, green at last. Just say that. These people out there, look at this. We finally got our green dystopia here. Intruders and looting, medication shortage. Medication time. You want to hear Nurse Ratched? No harvest. Again, famine. Stock market crash. Empty grocery shelves. Impassable roads, even if you got a working car. No septic system. Planes may be grounded. Oh, you can bet on that. That'll be a, and then long-term effects. But hey, you know, Michael Johnson is up for this because he's a wartime speaker. Aren't we blessed to be led by such a wise man, of integrity as Michael Johnson, a wartime speaker, to take us into war?
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.